prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary. Amen. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 21, and we'll just read. If anybody had anything to do with it, I thank you for the Bible I got today. Ever who had anything to do with it? I got a new Bible today. Amen. It was a Scofield 1917 edition, you know, and I thank God for it. So, amen on that. I don't know where, who paid for it, but somebody did somewhere. So thank you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to come together tonight in the midst of the week and to, Lord, set everything aside to where that we could have a little time to worship you. And we pray that our worship would be in order. And we know, Father, that you and your ways of being is not like our ways, it's not like our thoughts. It is your ways. And we thank you. Just have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts, and you do what you said in your word. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. There's many things among us tonight, Lord, that needs healing. And we pray that you would just come down now, and we know you're here because we feel you. Your presence is with us tonight in a way, Lord, that we need you. And just have your way now as we speak about you. Forgive us when we fail you, because we know that we do. And lead us by thine understanding, and keep us in Jesus' name. Revelations 21, we'll just read verse 1 and 2, then we'll get some more scripture later. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You may be seated. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. Now, we tried to bring out Sunday about the things that we've been talking on, and I told you that I'd try to end the service tonight on this form of the book of Revelation. We'll probably be taking some this statement, says, some things that I've read in here that I want to come back and preach a message on. But I believe it's necessary for us to bring this to an end. And it might be surprising where we go next, because you know how I am. When I'm coming to the end of anything, it gets nervous, because you wonder where you go next. And the other day I was praying and I said, Lord, where do I go now? And He spoke a scripture to me. It'll take about 6 months to express that scripture. Now I'm honest, because it'll cover our whole entire person of what we are, our whole being. May go back and preach some simple things on justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know. Because it's just something He spoke to me. And He told me where we're at. So I said, okay, I'll try to explain that to the people. All right. But now listen. We talked about the description that God gave. You remember the last one was, I put it, the final scene, our picture, our description of the bride of Jesus Christ. We went through a lot of the things trying to describe that and how she was dressed in His righteousness. It's not her outward. Timothy says a modest apparel. Now, he didn't say modern apparel. But see, now listen. What would you look like? See, that when that scripture comes up, a lot of times you got to explain it. Modest apparel, what would it mean? Now, in the days of, say, John Wesley, etc., how long were the dresses? Dragging the ground. But you know what? That was modest apparel, wasn't it? Now the dresses are a little shorter, but now still enough to be able to cover you standing or sitting. And what is it? modest apparel. So it's a difference according to where you're living at. See? It might have been okay a long time ago there for the men to have long shoulder-length hair. But in this day and time, it's not that right, see? So you change, not change in the basis of doing wrong, and it's not that we've learned better so our dresses can come up and our hair can come down. No. That goes into the wrong way of looking at anything. See, it's not in that order. It's modest. See? Modest apparel means to be dressed. Here's my definition of modest apparel. And it would fit every church age that there is. You know what it is? Jesus Christ and His righteousness dwelling within your heart, and you're dressed in His righteousness, and that's what the bride is dressed in. When we get there, will we all have the same look? I don't know. I don't know. But we'll all have the modest apparel. It'll be in the right order and the right thing to be done. All right, but now listen. See? Her robe, not background ruts now, but her robe is being dressed in His righteousness. Now what did we talk about? The bride is dressed in His righteousness. His attributes are the apparel that we're to wear. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, faith, you know. His attributes is what you and I are to put on. And when we put that on, don't you worry about the apparel. It'll be right. You don't have to worry about what's going on the outside man if the inside man's right. But see, her beauty is His righteousness. I told you that in the story the prophet gave of the armor meeting man, you know. Now, she bought her own clothes and made everything, got right. Yeah, we know that. But that's not according to the Bible in the basis of what we do, because we know that we don't have to buy anything. He gives us the material. But He expects us to put them on. He expects us to wear that, see, and to show what we think about Him. All right? See, her beauty is His beauty. Now that's what I'm talking about, attributes, see. Her beauty is His beauty that has been given to her. But now it belongs to me. That's my faith. That's why it says that. Add to your faith. Well, that's the new birth. But see, once He gave it to you, that's why faith is not an add. It's a birth. Once He gave it to you, it's yours. Brother Brown said, this is my eye. God gave it to me. God gave me the eye, but it's my eye. That's why I'm responsible for what I do with this body. Because I claim that inside of this body is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? And I'm claiming that His nature is to be displayed through me. And His nature, if you caught it there, what I was talking about Sunday afternoon, His nature is what her beauty is. Her beauty is the nature that God has given unto her. Making her and showing her what she is, there's your modest apparel. Not modern, but modest apparel. There is what we should all put on, is put on His righteousness. His holiness. His love, His joy, His peace, and display that to everybody around us. And see, then in that we'd wind up seeing that we're dressed, you know, in the Word. You know, the picture that was made showing the bride and the Bible written, you know, and showing her in that. Brother Brown said a wonderful picture. But now listen, that's what I was trying to say Sunday. But now let's get on to the city. The one we call the future home. And as I said, we know the order of events, that the next thing to take place is the rapture. And then there's 3.5 years of tribulation. And while that's going on, we are at the marriage supper. Then we ride back with Him into the millennial reign on the honeymoon. All right. See, then the prophet said, and this is the best I can quote you what he said. He said, we'd be taken up out on the outer rims of the earth. While they're just, and what that means, I don't know. Ain't worried about it. I believe it'd be a pretty good trip somewhere, but, you know, I don't think they'll have to take the buses and haul us. It'll be in the Lord, but anyhow, because chaos is going to take place here. Because Armageddon even comes before the millennium. See, then you come on over, and after the millennium, Satan's loosed a little season, and when he is, then you got, you know, going into Gog and Magog. And you got it to where that there'll be a final destruction, and then the future home is going to come into being. Now, that future home, that's why I love that scripture of John, what is it, 14? In my Father's house are many mansions, were not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I love that. You know why? That covers the whole journey. But Brother Brown said, in my Father's house are many theophanies, souls. But it's only one soul, because it's the soul of Almighty God, but made manifest in many people. But then Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he's not up there with hammers and nails building. Where'd he go? Went right up, come right back down in you. Why? Because the city's being built. The prophet said, read the future home. Brother Al called me this week and wanted to know what to read on. I said, read the future home. Because that's the main thing. Read the future home. And see in there if the prophet didn't say something to this degree. He said, that city is being built according to her thoughts, her desires, her thinking. All right? Because it's according to what you want. And see, when it said there, said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's not up there with hammers and nails. He come right back down into the heart to live here with us. And the city's being prepared within us. Why? Because John, as I said to you over and over, John would talk about the city describing the bride. He's talking about the bride describing the city. Why? Because they're identically of the same description. You say, no, one of them's a building. Well, see, you're not listening. It's his attributes being displayed in you and I. What is the future home? His attributes being displayed that identically matches what's in your heart. What kind of a home would you build if you had enough money to not worry about, you know, we have to be concerned, well, we can't spend but this or spend that. What would it be if you had an unlimited supply of material and an unlimited amount of people that were professionals, you know? Not jack-like carpenters like myself, you know, that scrounges around, but professionals that, you know, perfect in what they do. If you had the money, that was what you'd do for your wife, wouldn't you? Because now listen, and I know this may get on the wrong side, but you just do what you ought to with it because it's truth. But see, what a man does in building a home for his wife shows what he thinks about her. Now, a lot of people around my home thinks my wife runs everything. She tries to, but it don't work all the time. And what I mean by that is, y'all think that she's the one that tells me to build all these things that I'm building. The remodeling that Brother Gary done back there for me, thank him for that. She said, just put a roof over that. I said, why? I mean, if you're going to do it, let's do it. Well, it's going to take me 3 more months. But what does that make any difference? Because I want it made to where that it's pretty for her. Because it's her home. When we first got married, she'd always tell me, she'd say, I don't own anything. I don't own anything. I don't work. I don't pay no bills. I said, yeah, but it's all gift to you. Because whatever I have, you have. And she knows I've even told her this. And a lot of, I know you wouldn't agree with me on this. But that's all right. I told her, I said, if you divorced me today and left me, I said, you can have everything we got. I'll take off on my own with nothing. And I meant that. You say, she run off with another man? Yeah, I'd give everything to her. Why? Because we worked together and we've made it together. We've hung the sheetrock together. We've built the house together. We've done things according to her desires of what she wanted. But a lot of times I tell her, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, because I got a different way, and my way is I got to do the work. And if I'm going to do the work, I'm going to build it the way I want it done, because I'm going to build it safe. I tell you what, don't ever turn nothing down Gary Crantsville. I like to broke my neck the other day knocking a board off. It was about 16 foot long. I bet he had 40 nails in that one board. And I finally got it knocked loose. I happened to have a board between me and it, and it fell against the house. Because if it happened, it would have broke a leg, because it got close. But I couldn't get it off no other way. If you'd have seen how I got it off, you'd have laughed. Said, how'd you figure that out? But anyhow, listen. Now listen to what I'm saying. What kind of a home would you build for your wife if you could really afford it? You know, if you could really afford it. Never mind. Because remember, the city now that we're going to, the future home, shows her desires. Now what about him thinking that much of you and I? That he's going to build a city, and the city's going to be built according to our desires. You know, what we want, see? And watch. The city shows the desires of the bride, and her beauty shows his desires for her. Because it's given unto us. It's given unto us. Freely given. Not something we have to do anything to get. It's freely given. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? See, the city shows the desires of the bride. Read the future home and see if that's not what the prophet was saying. Alright? And her beauty shows his desires for her. What he thinks about her. She was described in jasper and sardine stone, right? She was described in the exact stones that he was described in. It's because his beauty is her beauty. Go on and read the rest of chapter there, where it gets into describing the city and all of those stones that's there, the 12 stones, the different colors and everything. And like I told you, that's not a diamond there. That's not a sardine stone that has, or a jasper stone that has a flaw in it. No. The most beautiful, wonderful, everybody would say, I don't even know what a jasper stone looks like. But it would be the most pretty one you could ever find. But it's in the building of the temple, right? Why? Because she is to look upon by him, not by the world. She is to look upon by him as jasper and sardine stone. You remember I tried to be a little comical about it, not just pounding all the time, but how the Songs of Solomon describes it, and how that David would talk about over in his writings about how beautiful, you know, that like a flock of rams running across a hill, you know. And we look at that and say, boy, I tell you what, they don't think much of us. Now that was the best way he could describe it. That was the most beautiful thing he could think of, to put that into an expression. And just think about it. The city's going to be just like that. You're dressed as a sardine stone or a jasper stone. The city's going to have that in there. The prophet said it like this one time. Some like mountains. I don't think there'll be any deserts there now. If they are, they're going to be blossoming like a rose. All right. There won't be no problem with it. But see, whatever your desire is. But Brother Branham's showing his humility and the fact of what he was. What did he say? He said, just give me a little cabin down by the creek. You know what? You know, we talk about him being a prophet, and we talk about him speaking the thoughts of God. You know, then you know where he'll be living? In a little cabin down by the creek. I just want to be on the other side, don't you? You know, I just want mine about close to him, Brother Danny, where we can look down and see the trout that we've caught and ate. Won't be catching them then and eating them. But we can look at all of the beauty. See, listen. See, the city, the streets of gold, the foundations of pearls is your attributes. Describing the stature of a perfect man. What would be the difference in describing those and describing what a pearl looks like? Because it takes seven colors to make a rainbow, right? And see, that's what you have there. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. To make a beautiful rainbow. You understand what I'm talking about? What about a city? What about a city that will be exactly according to what you think? Sure, I know the Bible says that the things that hadn't been revealed to us. I know that. There's a lot of secret things that God's going to reveal to us later. But I think He's revealed a lot of the secrets to us. We even know what the future home's going to look like. The prophet described it, how that the contour of the land would be, and they would be walls and parks and everything, you know, that we could just have a wonderful time. See? Fellowshipping. See? Around what we've talked about all of our life. And what I've tried to get you to see is all the rest of them down there. Now, you know, this died and gone on. They don't get it like we do because we get ours while we're here. That's why we can go there in the rapture and take place. We receive our overcomer reward right here while we're alive. And see, they're going to want to know about it. And see, you'll have plenty of time to talk to your neighbors and people around you about what you saw. All right? But now remember, because the title of the message is what struck me years ago. We call it the future home. But the title of the message is actually the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Now, why would he title it like that? Heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. Looks like he's making a difference between us. He's not doing it. It's showing you what we are. This world and things is going to be according to what we want it to be. Brother Dick likes that a lot, where Brother Brown said, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit to control you, said you speak a word and go live on it. Well, I think about that a lot. But listen, the future home, that means the heavenly bridegroom. Now watch. Listen to what I'm trying. I try to get you to see scriptures. The prophet said that future home is going to be right here on earth, right? Well, see, there's where he gets the title of the message. From the fact of where it's going to be. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom that comes down, condescends to where we are, condescends to here, and we live on earth. Because it's the earthly bride. Not earthly like the word earthly over in the scripture that means, what is that? How you say that word? Which means sensual? What is that word? Is that the way you say it? You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't come out right. It's not good. In other words, it's the wrong thing about that type of earth. See, this earth we live in is a sex product produced by that. It has to be controlled. Right. See, but the world's not going to be like that. Everything's going to be beautiful. Like I said, all of the deserts are going to blossom like a rose. Oh, I cried when we saw Israel riding down, Brother Dean, there on the right down by the side of the Dead Sea, that we could look out there and see it. That there's not a living organism can live in the Dead Sea. It's so salty. And look, from here to there, it looked like a mile or more the most beautiful trees you've ever seen. Salt. Danny. Not dirt, not red clay, not black clay. Not brown or any color clay. Salt. It's just as white as could be. How did they neutralize that salt? Because it wouldn't matter how much water you gave to it. As salt as it was, it's going to kill it that much worse. But they had everything that could be thought of. The man said, we can grow right here. Almost anything could be grown in the world. Dates, pomegranates, watermelons. Just make you cry. But see, that's what it's going to be. Because Isaiah said, I create a new heaven and a new earth. You remember that's the story over in Peter where that everybody had the idea where it says the first heaven and first earth has passed away. And it says, see, that's all obliterated. It's gone. The prophet said, no, that's not right. That that's not according to the scriptures. Of the rest of the scriptures putting it together. He said, because the future home is going to be right here on earth. A beautiful story of the plan of redemption. In the future home. He said, if you don't get nothing, get the plan of redemption. But listen. Isaiah said, I make all things new. Look over in Revelation 21:5. About all the scripture we get to. Look what he said. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I make all things new. I want to ask you a question. We don't lay on this, that, or the other, but just make a point. How many of you have got Scofield Bibles? Almost everybody in here got one. Would you look down there and notice that that's not red letter? Huh? But over in 22, you got where he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, and it's red letter. Is yours red letter? Mine's not. Now there in 21, verse 6 and 7. Because in verse 6, look what he said. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that cometh, overcometh, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Not in red letter, is it? But you jump over to chapter 22. Every time he says, or go back to chapter 1 and the things when he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, and you'll find it in red letter. I wonder if God is actually trying to show how close we have come together with him in this future home. Now remember what I've always tried to get you to look at throughout the Bible, that the big addition, you know, the big words, capital letters, means the God of glory. But the L-O-R-D in the lowercase can be people upon the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not listed as in a capital order. I think Christ is one time in the Bible, I believe that's right, that goes into capital letters. Bold capital letters. See, what is I'm talking about? Because he has come down and revealed himself to you and I. And see, by the time we come to that future home, when you see him, you see us. When you see us, you see him. He's bringing himself down to an order to show what he thinks of us. And how that he looks at those stones and the beauty of that temple, that city's built, because there ain't no temple, because he's the temple. That's what the Bible says. Won't be no need of the night there and the things like that, because he's the one. But listen. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. Join those two together. And you got God on earth walking around with his people. And he says, I'll be his God. And he'll be my son. Behold, I make all things new, Isaiah said. Because Isaiah 65 is covered, and I'll be glad to give you these. But the prophet covers it for the millennium. Because it says that they'll plant and they'll do. No, he covers the millennium. But then he turns around on the future home and he covers Isaiah 65 as the future home. Where everything's already built by him. This according to what? Where he's revealing himself at. That's my whole point to you tonight, church. God thinks so much of you and I. He puts us together as one and says, I make all things new. What does it say over there in Revelation 3:14? The message to this Laodicean age is what? The beginning of the creation of God. What does Paul say in Corinthians? Is it 5:17? Where he's talking about, I make you a new creature. A new creation. Become so much one with him until he doesn't separate himself, as I've told you over and over, that you see him no more after the day of Pentecost. You don't see him anymore by himself. You see him shown standing in his bride, with his bride, manifesting himself to the rest. Won't it be a wonderful thing to get there and to see all of these things? And to find, sure, that they can be a new name. But just remember what we're preaching on. There's a new name there. That new name, what? Going to be the same name you have. What's your name now? Miss Jesus. If God gives a new name, what will it be? Ever what he is. Because it'll never be that you'll be separated. But he said, I make all things new. Brother Brown tells you that Isaiah is a complete Bible within itself. The starts of the creation and the thing like that, and then comes over about to the 40, chapter 42, I believe it is, somewhere right in there. 40, 42, where it talks of John the Baptist and him coming. And see, ends up, he said, bringing forth the millennium, and then all the way into the future home. Built according to your desire. Let this mind, the Bible says, be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And what? By that mind being in Christ Jesus, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why? Because he was God. That's why he never thought it equal to be with God. He was God. All right? When that same mind is in you, Brother Gary, and comes to the capstone of the revelation of the end time. Now that's the way I placed it, because when you get a new birth, you only get an earnest of understanding. But when that headstone comes and unites with that person, and that person and God becomes one, your name is the same as his. For me to say what God says, I don't count it robbery to be equal to God, because I'm God made manifest in a human form for my portion to what I am. You've got to believe that you're God made manifest for the portion that you are. You've got to believe that, Brother Danny. It ain't something that we can talk about. That's what I want to get on to. Not being mixed. Think of this scripture. Because that's what the Lord gave me. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's right where we're at. It's not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, the scripture said. That's what we need. We need a revelation more than anything. Because a revelation will change us. A revelation will make us different. A revelation will lead us into glory. A revelation will Help us to want to walk in His virtue, His knowledge, His temperance. But think about what I'm saying. To put on those virtues of the stature of a perfect man, wouldn't that be the same as Him building the city for us to come to? Won't that city be built of love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness? See, we don't put that scripture with the stature of a perfect man. You know what I'm saying? What is over in Corinthians, I believe, is where he said, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, long-suffering. But Brother Branham put it in Peter of the stature of a perfect man to add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly. He put it right together. And showing us what we have need of. You say, but Brother Dale, there's 9 spiritual gifts, there's only 7 virtues. That's true. But when you add faith as a birth, and then you add Holy Spirit, and putting your capstone on, you come up with 9. So it's the same as love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness. See? Because it's all in Christ. Do you understand? Is any questions? I mean, I'd be glad to try to help you understand anything that I've taught on it. But that's what I believe. I believe the book of Revelation shows you from the time you entered the journey of life all the way through into the time that we will walk off of this earth into glory and come back after the millennium and the things is over with and come back in what's called the future home. Now you just think about it. The prophet said there'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. We know that. So that kind of throws us reverse looking at it, right? But you think about it. You think about the millennium temple that's built on earth. And we are the anointing to that temple. According to Daniel 70 weeks, and the prophet gave you the scripture, Ezekiel 40 to 44, is the millennium temple being erected on earth. And a lot of people don't believe that. They don't think it'll be a millennium. Think, what do you need it for? You need it there where you can describe things. Huh? But you just think about it. There'll be a millennium temple. We'll be the anointing to it. There won't have to be a temple in the new city. There won't have to be a light there. The Lamb's the light. They can be a temple. I don't care what it takes to build it, to put it there in the future home. No problem with me. But my point is, you don't have to use it to show anymore. Because you've become one with Him. And His thoughts is your thoughts. Like Wade was describing to somebody the other day. He said, there was my daddy was sitting on the throne and I walked before him, his thoughts would have to be according to Jesus Christ, even though he looked down at me as his own son. That his thoughts would have to be according to what Jesus Christ would say. That's the way we should think about it. Because we need the mind of Christ. See, a future home that shows her beauty in every stone. You think of some of the most marvelous buildings and architectural designs and things that's been made in this world. And they say that none has ever surpassed the Solomon in his temple. Even the Bible says the glory of the second was not as great as the glory of the first. You think of that Solomon built. It was so beautiful until it's never been surpassed, we'd say, since then. But that's nothing to think about according to the new home that you and I go to, that we have something to do with. It's being built according to your desires. Now, kids, don't get to thinking about we're going to get 2 or 3 new cars over there, because there's not no cars in the future home. It's not something like that. It's according to your heavenly thoughts, according to your desires and love and joy and peace. I like that song about, you know, I remember when I first heard it, it said, I'm sending up boards for my mansion in the sky. And see, everybody thinks that we're doing something to do that. But no, it's incorrect to say that we're sending up boards. No. He's building it according to what we need, our thoughts. He doesn't need our boards. He's got the board. He doesn't need something for you and I. But when we make manifest on earth, the prophet said he's acting just like you. Come on adoption, what did he say? He said, you made him sick? Wasn't that what the angel has to go back to? He said, you made him sick? You had him humiliated in front of all of the people? Everybody? He said, he's acting just like you. Well, see, we think the other way, that if we're manifested sons and daughters, that we're never going to have any trouble. Where's that in the Bible? How could we be overcomers if it's not something to overcome? And this age is the greatest of all of the overcomers. Because you know what we got to overcome? Ourselves. I'm my biggest enemy. I'm my biggest problem. What about you? The future home. That's the title of the message. The future home. Built according to what you desire it to be. Come on, Brother Boyd, come on, musicians. Think on these things. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. What do you think? In other words, I think like this, and I'm just honest. What would have happened if Martin Luther went out and said about the Catholic Church, Martin Luther said, if you go with that, said, don't you know that the world's going to be against you? I believe it was one, wouldn't it? He said, let the world know that I'm against thee. What would he have done had he seen the things that you and I see? You see why? It's not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. Because we don't realize the reality of what's going on. We don't realize the Bible speaking about us, describing us. Think on these things. What about it, Brother Boyd? 596 in the spiral book. Anybody have a need? Think on these things. I'm looking forward to a revival. I'm coming this week to look forward to a revival Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. I look forward to it every day, but I'm coming expecting something to be. In bed, and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen. The Spirit's groaning deep within. Think about it. Think about it. The same God that touched Brother Tom and do away with his blood. Our brother's having blood in his stool. Got to go for a colonoscopy Friday. Let's believe everything will be all right. Amen? You agree? Father, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing thy word that by your stripes he's healed. Father, we're asking you to remove this problem that's causing the bleeding. We know that there's something wrong. It's not normal for those things to happen. So we're not just saying that we're going to say that it's not there. We're going to say, you, Lord, have taken away all of the things that would cause this situation. And our brother get a full report that all is well. and have a wonderful testimony. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I feel the pull.
You have a need. Think about him.
I hear the call. I know his spirit's moving me to give my all.
What about it?
Speaks to me. And I agree.
Amen. Do we believe? Father,
you heard the testimony of our brother that he tried to talk to somebody about you and he didn't want you.
But then his children comes along and say, Daddy, I want to go to church. If he's a real true daddy, he'll take them. No matter if even he didn't even think about salvation for himself or whatever, he'd still take his children. And we believe you, Father. So just make manifest and bring, Lord, that one among us till we can see. We thank you. In Jesus' name. You believe?
Your plan. Be called to the deep at the great mountain.
Amen. Father, we believe you that there'll be a good report when our brother gets our Friday. We thank you for doctors, Father. And we know that in the human element that we're in, that we need them. We thank you. But we give the honor and glory to you. Because you gave us the doctors. Just like we were talking about, you gave us the virtues and the things. You gave us the doctors to help our bodies and things. And we thank you. But now let a good report come forth as our brother goes. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Anybody else?
One more time before we go.
I feel the pull.
Do you?
I hear the call. I know his spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me. And I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
Father, we thank you because we know there is a pull in the last days, and it's to pull us higher and higher, Lord, to get out of ourselves and to walk in you. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for the word, the message that we've been given in the last days that tells us about our future home. How that everything is there just according to what we need and want. We love you, Father. Truly you are our Father, and you finishing it up by saying that I am their God and he's my Son. We thank you, Father. We love you and bless the people now on the way home. Give a safe journey and let your light shine in each one of our hearts. Forgive our sins because we know we fail you. And just keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Think about it. Remember, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday night, 7 o'clock.